What's going on, everyone, and welcome back to the Double M Show. Take a minute, look around, look at your surroundings.
Can I sing the song right now?
Sing the song, Mike. Sing the song.
Return of the Mac. Return of T Mac. Return of T Mac. Return of T Mac.
You realize you're so offbeat is crazy.
Doesn't matter. You think
who came up with that?
You think people watching came from offbeat? Yeah.
Who came up with that? You or him? What? Tell the truth.
What? The song?
It's by what's his name?
Mark Morrison.
No, him substituting.
Return of the Mac.
It wasn't my idea, but it's a great idea.
Return of the Mac. T Mac.
You don't see how it. You know what I'm saying?
I've been hyping you up all week, T Mac. With that song, it goes together.
Like peanut butter and jelly, like white on rice.
Ew, on
okay,
the rice.
Whatever you say.
But as y'all can see, Double M Live, we got a special guest. Not a guest, more like family. We got family back.
Family things.
Family things.
Real
in the
family
building.
Things only.
T Mac in the mother.
You two
building.
Really. Drinking something.
Like, yeah, I got it right here.
I got some water.
I got some water.
Let's talk about the water.
T-Mac, welcome back to the show. We missed you.
I missed you guys.
How are you? How you feeling?
I'm good.
You like the new setup?
Good. I love the new setup. You know, I told you that when I came in here because the lighting is perfect.
It's like you knew to wear blue in the blue light district.
Everything happens for a reason.
You told him, Mike. Mike gave a little.
No.
She just knew. You know when you family and you could just sense and some telekinesis type. I don't even know if that's the right superpower.
Is it telekinesis? Yeah, it is.
Telekinesis.
Yeah, telekinesis.
When you could just read minds and just understand. Blue light district. I'm going to wear blue. I'm going to be ready to go. And voila. Magic.
Yo, T-Mac. As you know on this show, as if you are watching right now, it's a conversation between the audience and us. Nothing's going to change. We got T-Mac in there. We're going to catch up with her. But T-Mac, wow, I haven't said this in a while. Mike, I ain't going to say it to you this time.
It's okay.
T-Mac, what's on the playlist today?
Well, first we're going to talk about the Asian massacre that happened in the massage parlor, which was definitely all over the news. And then we're going to talk about the NCAA and the inequality with the women and the men, which has been going on for a long time. And then last but not least, this weird shit that's going on, LeBron being the new owner of the Red Sox. Is that why he wore the Red Sox jersey? Are you serious? That's strike two of your corniness. Like,
which one was strike one?
What was strike one? Return of the Mac.
Singing, yes.
This is nuts.
Yeah, this show started off. Mike, you still got like 50 minutes to get strike three.
What happens to strike three?
Did you really wear that for that topic? Tell the truth. I know you did.
I'm a Red Sox fan. What do you think I got a jersey for? Number 24. Shout out to
Manny.
And
we just so happen to be talking about how LeBron is the new owner of the Lakers. Red Sox.
We're going to get to that topic. But hey, I'm a Red Sox fan. It's okay, right?
I'm not saying it's not okay. I'm just saying I know you wore it for that topic.
Let me make sure that people understand this. I'm glad to see this girl right here. I'm glad to see T-Mac. It makes me very happy that she's here. But it's showtime. Double M.
Yes.
Live.
Let's get into it. I'm excited.
I hope you are, because you on the hot seat, T-Mac. We want to know what's new with you. You know, it's been a year and some change. Something amazing has happened to you, and we want to talk about it. We want to talk about this blessing.
I tried to tell you the streets was asking for you. They've been looking for you, and now you
That's
are here.
Two and a half.
You gracing the Double M.
That was a foul ball.
He got 0.5.
I can't even talk on this show. This is nuts. But yes, T-Mac.
No, but
yes.
Yeah, I had my baby girl Rain back in July.
Congratulations, motherhood.
And she'll be 8 months this Friday. And I don't know if you guys know, but every single month for Rain's birthday, I have a birthday party. And the The reason that I do that is because when COVID had hit, I was so pregnant and we weren't able to have a baby shower. So when Rain was born, I promised her that since she couldn't have her extravagant baby shower, because you know that was going to be the BET Awards, I told her that, you know, you can have a birthday every single month until she turns one, and then I'll just do it yearly. So every single month, Rain has a birthday party, and this month we're going bowling because she loves bowling.
She's nice at bowling?
She's, like, really good. Like, Flintstone good.
Flintstone.
Rain is bowling. So can Rain walk?
Not yet, but she crawls really fast, and she can stand up if she's holding on to something.
No, I'm not going to disrespect Rain.
As long as she's...
I bet Rain's amazing
Rain
at bowling.
Is strong.
How does she bowl?
You know, she has her little toy bowling set. We practice.
Okay.
And she...
Context.
She really gets
now,
it.
Now, can Rain talk?
Yes.
What did she
Don't.
Say?
Don't.
What did she say?
Go there.
I'm not going anywhere. What did she say?
She says, Mama.
That's it? That's the one?
And she says, Dada.
Okay. Which one did she say first?
Why would you bring that up?
I just have a question.
You want to know about your daughter asking questions? Come on.
That's so irrelevant, though. Because it's obvious that she probably was trying to say Mama first, but it sounded like Dada.
So she said Dada first.
I wouldn't say that.
But
is there no clear answer?
I just don't think that that's an appropriate question. So Rain said, I know Rain, so I know what she was trying to say.
Okay.
She was trying to say Mama.
Exactly.
But she happened to say Dada.
We can't say for certain.
Okay, hey. I'm just happy that you're happy, and you know, the princess, led by the queen, the mom, you're doing your thing. And I'm happy to see, you know, and I'm happy to have you here so that you can talk about everything else that's been going on in your life. Because you got a lot more.
Yes. So I also have Crowned by Rain, which was in honor of Rain. It is, you know, my accessory business for the headwear for my ladies. You know, maybe down the line I'll get something for the fellas, but right now I got to give it to the women. You know, I'm not even gonna say it. You'll see.
Oh, you got something in the works.
Maybe.
Got you.
Okay. So Crowned by Rain, definitely follow the Crowned by Rain Instagram page. It's in my bio, tr_moi.
I will get that going. Crowned by Rain. How do you spell that one more time?
Crowned. _by_Rain. And Rain is REIGN. You can follow us on Instagram. You know, and if you do purchase one of the headbands, if you tag us in it, I do feature you on the Instagram page and the website. And they're so cute. And there's always a sale going on. And they fit, like, everyone. Like, kids. Like, I've had little girls wear them from, like, ages 5 and up. And then I also have had, like, grown women wear them. Like, my mom has worn one. Me, like, they just fit so snug and so comfortable on everyone.
So it's, once again, @crowned_by_Rain.
We're going to promote that. Because, you know, we love to hear businesswomen making moves, doing your thing.
And you know what, Mike? We got a nice headband that would go really good with your jersey.
Really? You got it with you? Where's it at?
You can get the red one. I got 2 white ones.
So y'all do headbands, too?
Yes.
What kind of, like... I can go ball up.
No, wait. You said I do headbands too. It's the crown. It's the crown by
Rain. Oh, you want me to wear?
Oh, they want that headband.
Yes. To push his hair back.
Oh, yeah. No, that would look good on Mike.
To hold his
edges, I agree.
Like,
down. No, I understand now. My fault. Continue, please. Which color do you think would look good on Mike?
I think, honestly, the red.
Is this some.
The jersey.
Is this some kind of sick joke? Y'all cracking jokes on me or something?
She said she got a perfect headband. Next time she come through, she's going to have the display for us ready to go.
Okay.
But that's not all that you're doing right now.
I also have a partnership with Beauty Execs.
Woo!
Tyla is the body contouring guru. And I love her. Because, you know, that's something I did postpartum, just helping myself, like, get back to just being confident. Like, your body just goes through this drastic change, so it was definitely a good experience going into her, and the experience was so good that, you know, we got talking and we decided to form this partnership, and now we just, you know, we want to make sure we just let our ladies know that whatever you got to do to be you, to feel like you again after almost a year. Like, if anybody asked me, I was pregnant for a year. That's what I'm gonna say, because it just feels like so long, like literally a year of your life, like just woo.
But
so yeah.
But you're taking fitness real seriously. We yes. see you on the IG working out hard. Yep. And was that, I mean, you always was someone who was active
right.
and always working on working out stuff, but after having rain, was that something yeah. conscious where you're like, I'm going to go yeah, extra hard? Yeah,
definitely. I remember just like being pregnant, being like, I can't wait to go back to the gym. Like, I cannot wait. I'm going to go ham. Like, just wait. Like, oh, I can't wait to go back. And I remember just being like a month postpartum, like asking my doctor, like, can I work out now? Like, can I work out? And she was like, I mean, if you feel okay. I was like, yes. Yeah. Like, let's get to it.
Word.
That's what's up. It's all good to hear. I mean, you active. You real active. I'm not just talking working out, the businesses, you know, motherhood, everything you got going on. Wow. I'm happy to hear.
Yeah, man. We proud of you here in Double M. We glad aww. That.
We go back. You know we go back.
Yeah, I know.
We go back.
So I remember. It's good to see you back. What are you about to say, Mike? What do you remember?
I'm just saying.
2.7.
What are you about to
T-Mac
say?
T-Mac and I go back, running the streets, you know, hitting the playground, you know, playing tag, you know. Young things, you feel me? So you know,
you play tag.
It's not what young kids do out on outside.
It was manhunt.
Like, manhunt was tag.
Great. Manhunt's a great.
All of that
tag
good stuff.
Little kids.
Yo,
I've known you since okay. we were kids. What you talking about?
I never played tag.
Okay, my fault.
Put some respect.
My fault.
Like, put some respect on my name.
She didn't play tag. Apparently, we just ran the streets playing manhunt.
If it wasn't manhunt or a race down the street, I wasn't playing. Right. All of this, money to be won, I'm not playing.
All of this to say, I've known her for a long time, so I'm just feel like a proud, like big brother. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. That's how I feel. So that's all I'm saying. Jeez, that's all I was trying to say. Is something wrong with that?
No.
Okay. Great.
We'll continue.
He needs help.
We'll continue.
And you know what? I'm 2 seconds from bringing up what he done been doing.
Hold on.
2 seconds.
I'm at work right now.
Okay.
I'm at work.
About your real job.
This is, huh?
I'm 2 seconds.
Anyways, let's continue.
He know he don't want me to do it, so he better.
Yo, this is Double M Live. You guys already know. Make sure you like right now. Subscribe. Hit the comments. Talk to T-Mac. T-Mac is back.
It's been so long.
What do you miss about Double M, T-Mac?
I miss coming in early to the show and just doing the sound check and the light check, because I just feel like that's what I'm really good at, is making sure the lighting is perfect. And I kid you not, every single time I'm here, the lighting is perfect. And I'm not saying I'm the reason, but like you said, they go together.
Shout out to Massive Media for helping us out with the lighting.
Featuring me.
But yo, we got a dope show. You already brought up what's on the playlist. So we're gonna switch gears here. We obviously know a lot's happening in the world. We've been having guests so much, Mike. We haven't even been able to talk about anything. You know, yeah. We've been having guests and stuff. So this gives us a time to really, you know, reflect what's going on, have a conversation with you guys.
Yeah. So our T-Mac first topic was the massacre that happened at the massage parlor in Atlanta, right, where basically, you know, it was said that a man entered into the massage parlor, that man being Caucasian, and literally just shot the place up. Like, and ever since, I know we kind of spoke about this a little bit earlier, but ever since COVID kicked off, like, Asians have become a really big target, and that is alarming, and that's a problem, and I don't think that it's being talked about enough. I just feel like it's kind of been, like, brushed underneath the rug, but I definitely feel like, you know, if Black Lives Matter, I mean, like, they're getting slaughtered, too, so I don't hear about it enough.
Yeah, it's, you want to take,
I mean,
your thoughts, Mike?
Yeah, I mean, she pretty much said the majority of it. It's like, since COVID started, you know, the leader of the United States at the time didn't really do much to help the whole situation, and kind of in terms of putting all the blame in the things he said, and when he would talk to the media and how he would talk about China, and it really started to formulate, you know, the reasons why we're having this conversation now of, you know, Asians, in a sense, getting looked upon in a certain way. And you know, first and foremost, going into a parlor shooting up, these massacres that happen in the United States, it's crazy to think about, because it's like, these things happen around the world. We know that.
Yeah.
But the United States is always like, it's always another massacre in the United States. Happens at a school, happens at a movie theater, happens at a church, happens at a parlor. You hear about these massacres. And it's just like, you, damn, again?
Do we know the guy's name?
I can,
did he like make a statement or say anything? Because
I can look up, I forget the guy's name right now, and we can look it up. But the crazy thing about the massacre, right? So once the deputies had come out and explained what was going on, eight died, six happened to be Asian Americans, and the officer speaking on the event said the person's name and said, you know, he clearly was having a bad day.
What?
I remember seeing that clip where the officer said, he woke up, he said something along the lines, he woke up, he was having a bad day, and because of it, he was having a bad day, this is what he did.
He was having a bad day?
When you have a bad day, you punch a wall. Maybe you get an extra drink in your life.
And if you're a child, you throw a temper tantrum.
You know, you go off on someone.
Having a bad day?
You don't call a terrorist attack a bad day. Already that's an alarming. And then come to find out that officer, they go on his Facebook, there's a bunch of Asian hate behind it.
There's always something behind it.
So you start to peel back the wall of who these people are. And once again, these are your police officers. These are your force. And they're protecting pretty much another white terrorist. They'll never come out and call these people terrorists.
And you know another thing to point out too is that when let's look at the people in question. So you have the white terrorists, but like even when it's someone other than white who has committed a crime or done something, you know, inhumane, the way the response is to them versus the way the response is to a white person is drastically different too. Like you look at all the comparisons of all, you know, the people throughout history who have committed like vicious crimes and massacres of them being handcuffed and taken to jail and given a slap on the wrist and paroled out in 2 years or something. And then you look at, you know, someone who has committed a less of a crime for a valid reason. They robbed a liquor store because they're living on the street. They didn't have any food. They were hungry or whatever. They're manhandled down to the ground 10 plus years. Doesn't see the day of light ever again. Like, it's just such a drastic difference the way that these things are being handled and the way that these suspects are being brought in. It's not even brought about the same way.
Yeah, it's alarming. Like you said, imagine if this shooter was an African-American or Muslim.
Would he have made it to the police car?
Hell no.
He would have been in a body bag.
Well, we've seen this. Even, you know, even to take it back, the shooter at the church
when he killed the nine.
When he killed a bunch of people, the shooter at the movie theater when he dressed up like Batman or something.
Mm-hmm. The Joker, I think it was.
The Joker, whatever it was. Yeah. These dudes, you know, handcuffed, you know, brought into the you're talking about guys with guns killing multiple people.
Do you ever see the ones where like they have the nerve to like help them cover their face and put like their jacket over them and like, nobody has to see their face? And I'm like, what? Like, even that, like I'm just like, I just feel like if everyone should get treated the same way. If the objective is for you guys to de-escalate the situation and bring the suspect in, that needs to be the objective for every single one. You know, it shouldn't be like, well, no, this suspect was more, you know, violent, so we had to act aggressively. Like, no, if that's the objective, then handle them all the same way.
Mike said it. These people aren't. We're talking about armed people being taken care of and brought to jail. And Trump being the president and enhancing all of these acts. And I'm not saying that it's only during coronavirus where, you know, Asian Americans have been dealing with this. Obviously, they've been, I don't want to make it seem like it was only due to coronavirus. They've been going through it. I happened to, my class from work, we had a conversation about it, and I had an Asian American co-worker come in and speak to us about it as well, just soaking up information and learning about them. And I learned about the word model minority, right? And model minority is how we view stereotypes how we view Asians, right? So when we view Asians, we view them as quiet, to themselves, you know, smart, you know, take, got money, things like that. But in reality, Asian Americans are not, they don't have the money, usually. Right. They're just trying to build up, they're struggling as much as some other minorities in the world. But due to the fact that model minority is a way to push them into the light as if they're okay, it gets, these things get brushed under the rug, right, while it shouldn't be. Like, Stop Asian Hate, that hashtag was going on prior to the massacre. But it wasn't until the massacre till people really started to really see what's going on here, that Asian Americans are being attacked in this country.
Yeah. You had that massacre take place, and then you also had the situation with the basketball player Jeremy Lin, who, you know, during the game, he's having different derogatory things yelled at him, and, you know, he spoke up about it. And like you said, this has been going on way before this massacre and whatnot happened. But obviously, when you have prominent people, you know, speak up and shine light upon these situations, I mean, is the conversations, like we've said many times on the show, the conversations need to continue, because that's the only way, you know, light gets brought upon these things happening. And I mean, the massacre, like all the massacres that take place, very unfortunate situations. You know, the media, excuse me, always want to spin it, well, the person is dealing with mental health and this and that. And then you got, fast forward to this situation, oh, the person was having a bad day. Like, that's the wild BS that gets, excuse me, thrown out there when you talk about these situations.
Big glass of water
you got there. So wild thing that happens when the media throws out these different things about mental health is probably an issue. Like, at the end of the day, it's a criminal act. The person who did it is a terrorist. That's what I would like to see pushed out first and foremost before you want to tell, well, they have mental issues
they
and this and
that. They need to call it how it is.
Or first and foremost, it's a terrorist attack. If you want to dive in and analyze their mental well-being, sure, yeah, do all of that. But first and foremost, the fact that these people, this person, go into these churches and theaters and parlors and shoot up their terrorists first and foremost, that's what needs to be pushed out. And it's not. Yeah. Especially when they're white. We see it all the time.
It's getting to the point, and I believe there was a shootout just the other day as well, in I think Colorado.
Oh, right? In the grocery store.
In the grocery store.
Yes.
There's shootouts happening all the time now. It's becoming so easy to just, and this gets into another conversation, obviously, of gun control and how to stop this, but like, how ridiculous is it now that you can just go anywhere and get shot up at any time in America?
In places where you think you're probably safe and chilling.
It's not even the back of your head.
Look, the places that we just listed. Movies, church, a massage parlor.
Places you go to relax, unwind, have fun.
Grocery store.
It makes people not want to go out.
Schools. Like, you don't go into these places thinking like, yo, my life, if I'm a student at a classroom, I should not be thinking about my life is on the line because I could get shot. If I'm in a movie theater watching a movie, I shouldn't be thinking, this movie's great, but someone could jump up anytime and shoot me. If I'm getting a massage, somebody rubbing on my back, I should not think someone's going to jump up and shoot me. I'm in a grocery store getting some food to feed my family and myself. I should not be thinking about someone might come in and start shooting. That's not a thought that you want to have in these places, but in this world we live in this country we live in, it keeps happening over and over and over again.
It's not a shock. You get the notification of a shootout, and it's like, damn, another.
I remember getting
it. But I wanna bring it back a little bit, because just back to the topic and about the massacre itself, you know, I was gonna say, if either of you guys heard anything in regards to what's going to happen to the suspect now, is he going to be charged the way he should be charged? Like, where are they holding him? Like,
He's held in the, obviously, you know, he's going to get charged with all the murder counts and such, and get
you know, you have to ask, because nowadays murderers don't get
the
charged.
The judicial system in the United States, you never know.
Of course.
They just walk around. Like, it just doesn't happen anymore, but.
And Derek mentioned 10 people killed in Colorado yesterday. Like, 15 years ago, this is all we're talking about. There's a shootout in Colorado. Like, this is the headline news.
This is the second big shooting in Colorado because that's where Columbine happened, right? Columbine was in Colorado?
Was it in Colorado?
I'm pretty sure Columbine was in Colorado. I could be wrong. If I'm wrong, forgive
me. My point being is, now this is just like a ticker on the bottom of a news section. Oh, you know, mass shooting. Where 15, 10, 20 years ago, we saw something like this. Everyone's tuned in on the news. Everyone's going crazy. Like, yo, this, a shootout just happened. Now is this something that is a thing? Where's the next shootout going to happen
in the United States? Even when it comes to these drastic things that happen, like you said before, you know, that hashtag was going on before the massacre, and then the massacre happened, and now it's, like, taken off. But I feel like there's always an event or something so bad that happens that sets everybody off, and the momentum's going for a while, and then it dies down, and then another sad event, like, just happens again, like, and then it... The emotions run off and everybody's talking about it and everybody's fired up. And I just feel like we as, like, you know, a community, as a people, we just have to be consistent with it, you know. And I feel like now more than ever, like, we've had a consistent message and been so consistent with it. Whereas you said, like, before, like, it just was something that kind of, like, after a while got swept underneath the rug. Like, nobody was talking about it anymore.
No, for real. Did you look that up?
Yeah, Columbine was in Colorado. So you're talking about a state that's now been, I mean, Columbine happened years ago, but this is another crazy mass shooting. I think I looked at it, 15 people got killed in that school shooting. 10 people got killed yesterday in Colorado. Like, but what I was going to say earlier is when the notification of someone, it popped up on my phone that active shooter in a grocery store. I looked at it and I kind of stared at the message because I was like, I really thought about it. What kind of thought should I be having looking at this message? Because active shooter in a grocery store, it sounds crazy. Like, what? I'm in a Stop and Shop or something. There's a shooter here? But I looked at the message, and it didn't, like, smack me that way. Because, in a sense, like we're all saying, we're numb to these things happening over and over and over again. And, I mean, it's sad to think about, but that's just the reality of the situation. And
I wanna bring it back to the Asian hate for a second. I wanna ask you guys opinion on something. Once again, just, you know, listening to fellow Asian Americans. I have 2 points, but the first one is, you know, a lot of these attacks that have been happening to Asian Americans have not been going down as hate crimes due to the fact of, you know, the law of freedom of speech. Or there's not enough proof that this specific attack on an old Asian American was a hate crime.
Because it's so hard to prove a hate crime.
And I just want to hear your thoughts on just hate crime and freedom of speech.
Because a hate crime, how many more years does that tack on to a sentence?
This is huge. It's like 15.
Yeah, like 10 to 15 that it will put on top of another charge. But it's so hard to prove a hate crime because, you know, we have other laws set in place to protect us. But then when it comes to something like this, I feel like it's hard to prove or to understand more so, but it is harder to prove it because of all the racism that goes on and because of, you know, us being allowed to have freedom of speech and things like that. So I feel like coming from someone who doesn't have to deal with racism, they're not going to see it as a hate crime because they're just going to take it as, like, oh, like, you know, something that hasn't happened to them, something they can't relate to, so they don't see it, you know?
It's just like, if they can't find it, if they can't find that this person has gone out on some type of social media or something like that where this you could see that it was true hate, even though you could feel it, you could know, okay, this person's attacking me due to my race, religion, or whatnot. But if they can't really see that shit in writing, then it's hard to, and it's ridiculous.
Yeah, like you said, it's tough to pin that on somebody. If you can't, like, nowadays, you have to go on their social media. Let me see what kind of rants they went on Twitter or Facebook or IG or what kind of pictures they post. That's the only way you can really tell.
And I feel like that, what you just said, Mike, too, was, you know, going on IG and their Facebook and Twitter and stuff like that. And nowadays, too, social media platforms have gotten a lot more stricter about what you post and what you say. Like, they will suspend your page. They will make it so you can't use it no more. Like,
that's Trump.
He got kicked off of Twitter. I know plenty of people who have gotten, like, suspended from their Facebook account for, like, 2 weeks. Like, what are we in school? Like, they're really taking it serious. Like, do you guys think that that's affecting, like, the social media users? Like, imagine someone, like, us every day. Like, how many, like, be honest. Like, do you ever go a day that you don't check your Instagram? Have you ever gone a full day without scrolling on Instagram?
I mean, when it comes to that, I think this I can see two sides of the argument.
So imagine being suspended from it, like not being able to check your account.
The crazy thing is, you have these social medias, and in a sense, it's a free space where you can do and say what you want. You can post pictures. You can talk about any topic you want. You can. But at the same time, I think what everybody would want to see in the world, nobody wants to live in a world with hate. You know, it's unfortunate that we have it, but nobody wants to live in a world where hate is around and you got to worry about people hating on you. And nobody wants to live with that. So as much as these social media platforms give you that space to post pictures, talk about what you want, the leaders of it, in a sense, don't want hate involved in their platform. I can't blame them for that.
I have a question for you guys. To what extent do you think that those actual, like, I want to say disciplinarian actions are effective? Because you still have people who post hateful shit, but they're not being suspended or blocked or canceled or anything. But then you have the ones who say something like jokingly, and it's like, this is like a threat, like your account. Like, how do they even determine who's being hateful and who's not? If racist people are still allowed to be racist because it's freedom of speech.
It's an amazing point.
It just goes back and forth. Like, I can just say that was just me expressing myself.
All you can do, as like Mike was saying, as the owners of these social media platforms, is try to limit it as much as possible. You're not going to change how that person's behavior or how they act and such like that. But, you know, all you can do is try to limit. Try not to have it spread, you know, because we've seen in this generation, anyone gets influenced by anything now. Kids get influenced so quick in social media. Imagine that person has just a little bit of following. Like Donald Trump's the perfect example, but we won't use him right now. Anyone with a little bit of following, that's what it's called following. People are going to follow and try to spew without having any type of knowledge. You can have a celebrity right now that says something ignorant, and people don't listen to it. Like, oh, okay, yeah, maybe that does make sense because it's coming from Kevin Hart, or it's coming from this celebrity. Okay, we'll listen to that. It doesn't mean it's right, but when you have any type of, that's why social media is very dangerous. I mean, it's an amazing thing for people to utilize. But it's also a very dangerous tool.
Yeah, it's a really
very dangerous tool. One last thing I want to talk about that I saw with this whole massacre and such that really drove me up a wall was, as soon as it happened, right, headlines and news stations and things were coming out and were saying, how can black people help with this Stop Asian Hate, or how can African Americans, you know, do more for Asian Americans to continue what's going on and stuff like that. This is coming from white corporations.
I'm just confused. What is the question? Like, what?
That doesn't even make sense. I think MSNBC was one that I saw as well that had the whole article, what black people can do.
What can everyone do? Like, what do you,
It drove me crazy. And obviously, we understand what Asian Americans are going through, and we know it's two different types of racism. They're getting blamed for something, right? The Asian Americans are getting blamed for a type of spread, and they're getting hate for that and such. For us, we're getting blamed for a whole different situation, the color of our skin and hate. So it's two different things, and they want to pin us against each other or say, right, oh, African American, what can they do? First of all, What can y'all do to stop terrorizing the country? Exactly. Talk about that first before you try to, you know, pin different type of cultures together and say...
Because here you have these two cultures and it's just like there's one common denominator, you know? And then they're comparing the wrong things. Like, Asian nuts. Hate and Black Lives Matter. It's not a competition of who gets it worse.
Right.
There's a common denominator that's the issue. And it's racism coming from a particular group. A majority of a particular group. So instead of trying to pin these two communities against each other, why don't we just fix the real issue? Like, I just feel like so many times when racist things happen to different cultures or different groups and different people, it's always a competition or a comparison, you know, and it shouldn't be like that. It's like, well, slavery, we dealt with it from this time to this time, and we went through this, and this. And it's like, well, you know, for the Holocaust, like, we were just getting, like, it's not a competition, you know? And I just feel like it needs to stop coming off that way and just have the issue resolved.
I agree 100%. Jay popped in with exactly what I was about to bring up to you guys. Exactly what I was waiting to say. Because I've seen this posted on social media. The post I saw on social media was something along the lines of, okay, we see what's happening to Asians, but like, where are they at when Black Lives Matter protests are going off? So because where they at when that's happening, we just gonna mind our business as black. I saw that post. And my thing is like, if that's your mindset,
right,
looking at this whole situation, you completely effed up in the head and twisted.
It's just ignorant.
You just gonna be like, well, I don't see Asian people marching down the street with the protests, so I'm just gonna turn my head to them. You add into the problem. Exactly. If that's your mindset, you add into the problem. You don't see someone else helping you out, but you see something happen to them, let me turn my back to them. Then it just...
See, it shouldn't be.
It snowballs into something much greater if that's the mindset that people
like,
will have.
Like, do people realize that's like how you these pit are each other against
you? Exactly.
People's lives. Like, this is murder. This isn't. Like, people are getting hurt. It's not who gets hurt worse or who's there when this group gets hurt. It's people are dying. People are losing their lives and they shouldn't be. Young people, old people, like, people are dying, and, like, it's not natural causes. So, that's just so ignorant. It's just, no one needs their back turned on, in
Nobody.
My opinion.
Agreed.
Yeah. So, we'll definitely monitor what's going on with, you know, what's with the Asian Americans and the Asian community.
To the next topic.
Definitely ready to move on. T-Mac, let us know what's going on.
NCAA inequality, again, between the women and the men. So there was, what was it, a TikTok video? And it was...
one of the athletes.
Yeah, one of the women, the female athletes, was showing a video of their workout equipment versus the guys' workout equipment. So let me just explain really quickly what this looked like for those of you who did not see it. And I'm laughing because it has to be a joke because these are women, female athletes.
Playing the same game that the men are playing.
Training! It's a joke what they gave them to train with. Like, it does not make sense. So they just gave them a single stack of weights. I think they started at, like, 5 pounds and probably went up to 20 pounds. The single ones. The ones right. Mm-hmm. Yep. Just that. Okay? A single rack.
T-Mac in the gym, so she knows.
Exactly. All right? I lift more than 20. Like, what is 20? My baby can lift the 20. Okay. You know? So it was a single rack. Now, how many women would you say are in the NCAA, like, who are working out?
I mean, there's
I mean, they probably, if you're going to be like that and say they're weak and they need these little weights, at least give them more than one. Like, can everybody work out? Can everybody work out?
And the you brought up the spacing?
Not yet. Now I have to explain the men's workout equipment. So they basically have, let's just say, I want to compare the size and the amount of equipment in there to the inside of a BJ's. I'm going to go with that, okay? They got weights set up all on the wall, all the special padding and everything else, and this type of weight, and then the other thing they can pull just with the arm. I don't know the name of any of these machines. But, again, the capacity of a BJ's mm-hmm. with full equipment everywhere.
Yes.
Okay? That's the men's. Then the NCAA came out with a statement saying that the reasoning the women only have that one little rack of weights isn't because of money, it's because of spacing. So then the female athlete in the video proceeds to show how much space they have. So we're going to go again with the inside of a BJ's. Now picture an empty BJ's with nothing. No racks, no shelves, no food, no nothing. Empty BJ's versus a full BJ's with all the workout equipment. And that right there is just blatant disrespect. These are athletes. They also need to train and work out. Why are they not being compensated the same way that men are?
So the NCAA has been on some funny business for a long time.
Forever.
And, you know, this is just another layer to the funny business that comes along with the NCAA. We could get into the whole topic of, you know, why aren't student athletes paid or why weren't they paid? They might be doing some kind of compensation thing for them now, the last year or so. I don't know. The NCAA has always had issues with how they do business sometimes. And like I said, this is just another layer to it. How can you have athletes, and like I was just saying to you, women are playing the same sport as the men. It's a basketball game taking place.
If not better. If not.
And you don't give them equal equipment, equal space. You know, we didn't even dive into the fact that the same girl who posted those videos talked about the different foods that they're getting served, and that she showed pictures of what the women are getting served compared to what the men are getting served. Is it not 2021? Is it not?
I didn't see that one. Like, so wait, what were the men getting served?
I don't.
Steak, lobster, shrimp.
The men were getting something much better. What the girl showed.
Say it. It was.
I don't remember. I don't remember what it was exactly. I just remember seeing.
And what did the females get?
It looked like they gave the women Hungry Man dinners at the freezer, warmed them up, and handed them out. Dead ass. That's what it looked like.
Disrespect.
It was some salt. I've had Hungry Man back in the day looking for a quick meal. Hungry Man, yeah, Salisbury
steak. Yeah, back in the day when you were living in the dorm, didn't have a dime.
Salisbury steak, little floppy rubber, Salisbury steak, some mashed potatoes, and some vegetables.
The Salisbury steak.
That's what it was. That's what she showed. And the men, I don't remember what the men got, but it was something completely different.
They
and
probably had the personal chef right there cooking it in front of them like the hibachi spot.
It just doesn't make sense.
Right?
And this is the NCAA tournament. Like, this is the top of the top.
It's not even like it's just.
This is the big thing right now.
This is a tournament where people gather. Yeah. Again, that's why I said, like, how many women are there here to train and work out for this big competition? And you give them one rack to share?
It's crazy. It's like, what's worse, it took us to know about this dude. A woman athlete. So how many eyes saw this until the women athletes had to be like, nah, this is
something's
ridiculous.
Not right.
Like, how many people went through, saw the spacing, and they said, oh, okay, this is fine. Why did it take the athletes to finally show what's going on? That's the worst. I think for me, that's the worst thing out of all of it.
And you know what I said too? I would have just went and worked out in the men's facility. Who gonna stop
me? Right.
You?
Who said they probably? They probably have. They probably.
I would have went right up in there, got some weights.
I don't even understand why there needs to be two separate
COVID.
Because COVID for probably. Now.
But all the men
reason,
from
no. That could be the reason right now. But I guarantee you, if you look up like this tournament like 2 years ago, it would be the same case. Like it's, if you were to see like what the facility was like, where the women go and where the men go, they always
at the end of the day, there was space.
Yeah.
She showed it clearly.
There was space
no excuse,
to have
basically.
all the type of equipment that all the women needed. And it goes beyond space and weights, because Mike just mentioned it. They wasn't even eating right. Or they're not eating right.
I get the same meals that the men were getting. The word that just labels the whole thing is disrespect. Disrespect is the word that, you know.
Deeper, sexism. It's deeper than disrespect.
Sexism, disrespect, and, you know, I tweeted this out. I made sure I added NCAA to it. It's a damn shame. It's a damn shame that this is what they're displaying. This is what they're setting up in the world that we're currently living in. You know, people trying to move forward in different areas of life. When you set this up, taking 20, 30, 50 steps back in terms of how you're presenting the NCAA tournament and what the men get and the women get. Like, NCAA should all be ashamed of themselves for setting this up. And I understand COVID, you know, bubble, but there should be no reason why you're bringing in women who worked hard to make it to the tournament, men who worked hard to make it to the tournament, and then you have this divide between the two. What is the divide for? Exactly. What's the difference in what the women are doing?
At the end of the day, they're all training to be great, to give their all.
And so put money in their schools, respective schools'
exactly.
pockets.
Exactly, and not for nothing, like, sometimes women can, you know, outdo a man.
Talk your shit, T-Bag.
Because, you know, if I really wanted to, I dunk on you,
Wait.
And it's but you don't see me, like, but hey, you know, but you go work out in your facility, and I'm going to handle this right here, but guess what? I'm going to still dunk on you. You know? Act like you know.
You will not be dunking on me. But I hear what you're saying.
But like I said,
I hear what you're saying.
Look at it though. If the women are given this to train with, and they're given this to feed, like to eat, you know, and I still come back and I dunk on you, you know,
Women's History Month, y'all are amazing. Y'all do amazing things
I'm
with
just
less.
Saying, like, that just goes to show that we really doing it. Like, it's nothing.
That's how I know you can't ball.
I did behind the back and I did a layup.
That's how
what
I know you
talking
can't
about?
Ball.
You didn't see that?
Be honest, T-Mac.
Haters are going to hate
you. You ever play basketball?
Hell yeah, I play basketball.
When?
Every day.
Oh, hold on. No. T-Mac, did you ever play ball, bro? I'm not. It's not even about it. I'm just asking you. Have you ever played ball?
You know they used to call me?
What'd you call
on the court?
What'd you call you?
Swish.
T-Mac, where'd you play?
You want to know why? Because all you heard.
Where did you play ball?
All you heard.
Where did you play?
What do you mean, where did I play? I played everywhere.
Did you play, like, high school, middle school, college? Like
everything.
Never mind. We know you're athletic, you're a cheerleader, and things like that.
I remember her cheerleader.
Cheerleader.
You see what I'm talking about? This proves my point.
I remember you cheerleading.
Why is that funny? Why is it a joke? It's a real sport.
I asked if you
played ball for your school.
You said cheerleader.
You was a cheerleader.
And I still dunk on y'all, though. That's the thing. You see what I'm talking about? Rest my case.
I just don't remember the cheerleaders being on the basketball team at the same time.
Who do you think was passing them the ball when it would go out of bounds?
The refs?
Yo.
Maybe not. I didn't go to your school.
Y'all really think he's really laughing. Get him. All right, that's three.
He said, I didn't go to your school. Maybe they do things
different. I didn't go.
Also, because my university wasn't y'all university, that we don't. What are you trying to say?
You might be right. You might have been passing the ball. You might be the greatest passer of all time.
No. I'm not just the greatest passer. I'm the greatest assister. I'm the greatest dunker. I'm the greatest shooter.
She said, I'm not the greatest passer. I'm the greatest assister.
I said, I'm not just the greatest passer. I'm good at it all.
Oh, that's a good question. Wait, what position did you play, though? Last question.
I was a forward.
Smaller power.
Power. I know what I'm talking about.
I got you. Hold on. Good question.
Don't act like we didn't used to talk sports on here.
You're right.
I know exactly what I'm talking about. I know exactly what position I played. I know exactly how many times I dunked on
people. You was a great passer and a great assister.
No. You know what? You're twisting my words. I said I'm not just a great passer.
You're not just a great passer. You're a great assister as well.
Because when you assist, a little bit more than just passing.
No, absolutely.
So
like when you rebound, it's a lot more than getting the board.
It's really about the fundamentals.
Like when you scoring, it's a lot more than just getting a bucket. I get it now.
Now that's where I gotta pause you. All right.
Oh, please teach me.
When I score, like say what I just did just now, I put it behind my back. I came up and I lay up. Okay.
How many steps?
That's a score.
That's the score. But all right? Getting a bucket.
Because that's just me like, now when I get a bucket, I might be. All right? And if I hit you with the fadeaway, then that's a bucket.
I'm glad you know the fadeaway. Good shit.
Now that's a bucket.
So Jay got a topic here. First, before we move on to NCAA, I just want to highlight Dirk's comment. NCAA is trash and always will be trash.
Facts.
That's just how it's been. That's how it's been for NCAA. It's, oh boy. Jay's comment here. Different topic. But you think that the WNBA should lower the rims to drum up more interest? That's interesting. I never heard this.
Lower the rims.
I'll explain why.
Yeah. You look like you about to spit some flame right now.
I'll explain.
What do you mean?
Oh, he's gonna break down Jay's.
If anything, you should raise them because we jump higher.
Can we just be real for one second? Hold on.
So,
go ahead, Mark.
Scientifically speaking, you know, the men are a lot bigger in the NBA than the women. You know, a woman center is about, you know, 6'3", 6'2", 6'3", around there. Mm-hmm. The rim is still 10 feet. Men average height for guard forward, you know, around 6'5", to 6'8", around there, guard forward. Some reach up to 7 feet. So the rim is a lot, you know, closer
easier
to them, a little easier. Yeah. So with women, if we lower the rim from 10 to 9, Jay mentioned excitement, we could see more dunks. Because that drives excitement. You know, women, WNBA is great. They have the fundamentals down. They're all great Tim Duncans out there. Fundamentally sound. But sometimes you want to see a 360. Sometimes we want to see what you was doing. The whoop whoop. Get a bucket.
Just let me know when you're done.
I'm done.
First of all, we don't need no handout. We don't need you to lower nothing. Okay. We don't need to make it easier.
Do you like
this? This is the game. And if that's the standard for the game and we playing the game, then the game stays the same.
But do you like dunks?
Yeah, I like dunks. And guess what? We still dunking.
It's not as common in the WNBA, though, than it is in the NBA.
It don't matter. We still dunking.
I just want to remind you, we're not saying that they can't do that. We're talking about just excitement.
No. You're talking about making it easier for a woman to dunk. Yes, sir. Because lowering it would make it easier so they can do the... But guess what? When it's at that 10 feet and we know it's at that 10 feet, we going harder.
But here's the comment that
just came in. Because I know I got to get up 10 feet.
Here's the comment that just came in.
How do you look at me, sir?
Because y'all over here really...
No, what? Listen. This is the comments coming in. We read
the comments. Go ahead.
WNBA arenas are kind of empty sometimes. And dunking is an exciting aspect of the game.
First of all, it's COVID. Ain't nobody in the arena.
Before COVID, there wasn't that.
All right? And let me just say this.
Okay.
If they wasn't scheduling the games to be on the same nights and the same days, then maybe they could fill up some more seats. And don't say nothing about what I just said. We just going to leave it at that. Now, what was the comment?
If you tune in to Double M Live right now, T-Mac is here.
You know
please
what?
Like and subscribe. Tune in. We appreciate the comments coming in. T-Mac is blessing us right now. Blessing us. But can we continue?
Yes, let's continue. I would like to continue.
Let's continue.
Let's move topics, T-Mac. I know you want to get into this.
Okay, so before we move on, let's just leave off on that topic with saying... No, we don't need to make it easier. All right?
It's not about easy. It's about excitement.
It is about being easier. Lowering it is making it easier. And I just want to say this. We done went our entire life without things being easier. All right? We already still out here shitting on y'all. And we ain't even got the same equipment. We using hot dog buns and y'all using real weights. And we still out here doing our thing. So what I'm saying is, for a woman, I feel like doing that, It kind of just is a little hypocritical to say, okay, everyone gets treated the same, like it's equal. If this is the game of basketball, and in the game of basketball, every single hoop is 10 feet, then that's what it is. Don't make ours 8
that.
Feet, 6 feet, 9 feet, just because we are female and I think we can't get up there. Like I said, like it's just going to make them go harder in the gym. Like it's going to be like, all right, I know that shit's 10 feet and I'm trying to win this dunking contest. I'm about to go hard. So at the end of the day, that just goes to show how much work women really put in when y'all really only putting in 95%.
Yes, like I said, women are a lot more fundamentally sound in the game of basketball.
Exactly. Women's History Month, we respecting women always, not just this month, every single
day. Thank you for bringing that perspective.
I just feel like, like I get it's good intentions, y'all want to make it fair, but at the same time, it almost kind of seems like
Like, I think just people are just trying to figure out ways to get WNBA more up there in views and ratings and stuff. Like, women do great in NCAA because of tournaments, colleges, schools, you know, people love that. But once you get to the professional round, it drops down in views and people don't know who the stars are and such like that. So, you know, everyone's just trying to figure out ways to get the WNBA, you know, more notoriety. I can't even say the word. Noticed.
Just add more excitement to the league.
All right, is my last point because I know we got to move on. I think if that's the goal and they want the WNBA to be just as live and as talked about as the NBA, I'm talking about women's basketball, lowering the rim. Boy, y'all come chop my head off.
Oh, it's the comments. The comments is
what. Oh, y'all lucky I can't see them comments right now. But when I get done and I read them, I'm going to know y'all names. So, what I'm saying is,
I'm sorry.
You represented the women.
Hold on. It's coming back to me.
Take your time. Drink some water if you need.
No.
The lime sparkle a little something.
It's coming back to me.
It wasn't the one.
Oh, I remember. Here we go. All right, here we go. So, what I'm saying is, if that is the goal to get the women, like WNBA, to where the men's league is, then I think that starts with having more equality when it comes to showing the games more, because 9 times out of 10, you turn on ESPN or any other sports station, you're going to see men's sport playing.
That's true.
And that right there goes back to it just having a lot of inequality. They're not showing. Maybe, you know, we could talk about the LeBron Jameses of the WNBA or the Kobe Bryants of the WNBA, like, you know, but we don't see them enough. Like, I couldn't tell you who was popping in the WNBA, and I'm ashamed to say that, but I can name 5 ball players from the men's league that I know was out here getting it. Like, but that's because every time, you know, someone in my house turns it on, or I go out and it's always at the bars, you know, they're going to watch the game. And who's playing? The men's league, you know? So I feel like, again, like, it starts somewhere, but it don't start with y'all lower in the rim. It don't start there.
You preaching right now.
And that's all I'm going to say.
No added jokes, none, but everything you're saying makes sense. Like, there's value behind everything you're saying. Absolutely. Absolutely.
Alright, so we on to our last topic.
Yeah, send us home, T-Mac.
Last topic. You know he wore this jersey for that topic. You know he did. And wasn't when we was talking about the topics before we started the show, didn't he say that was the one that he brought up? You didn't say that one. He brought that up because he knew he wanted to include that in this topic because he got dressed especially for it.
You are very observant.
I'm just saying that's what happened. But anyway, last topic, which I think is just, like, so random. LeBron James, new owner of the Red Sox.
Part-time owner
of the Red Sox. First of all, any type of ownership in the Red Sox.
It's big time.
Am I the only person that thinks that is just, like, mad random?
It definitely came out of nowhere,
like,
when the news came out.
I feel like when stuff like this happens, like, part owners who are, like, celebrities or athletes, like Jay-Z and who else owns like a share of a team?
Usher with the Cavs.
When stuff like
Justin
that.
Justin Timberlake with the Grizzlies.
Yeah. When stuff like that happens, you hear talks of it though. You know, like it leaks out. Like you hear of it. I feel like this was just like, hello.
Yeah. It came out of nowhere. Like you said, there was no rumors or anything of LeBron James and his group, you know, having interest in owning the Red Sox. But I mean, when the news dropped, and you know, I know Marv is going to talk about it because Marv had an interesting insight or when we were talking about it before, but it's just LeBron James, current basketball player, is part owner of the Boston Red Sox. And this is, you know, Boston Red Sox ain't no just regular team.
Are you happy about this? I'm not upset, and I'm not.
That was the question.
Ecstatic, but I feel like he has a lot of.
That's the $1 million.
I'll tell you this, too, Mac.
So excited this is what I tell in his voice.
Once I read that headline, the first person I thought of, I didn't think about LeBron or the team. I didn't think about first person who came in my mind was Mike. Just seeing the news and ripping everything.
Like, just go ahead and admit it.
So listen. I think my hate of LeBron is well documented.
Like, what are you going to do when you see him in Boston?
Here's my thing.
You already know how I feel.
Let me clarify this. I don't hate LeBron James, the man, and everything he's doing. I hate LeBron James, the guy who's constantly destroyed my Boston Celtics over the years.
Okay, I just have a question, Mike.
How do I feel about it, right?
No. Damn that. What are you going to do if you see him? Like, what would be your response?
I think eventually LeBron James is going to have to make his way to Boston to be at Fenway Park. And, you know, I need to see. I'm answering right now.
Yeah.
I have this jersey on because I want to see LeBron James wearing a Red Sox jersey and a Red Sox hat.
How disrespectful would it be if he came wearing, what's that team's name? And
The Indians?
Yeah, what if he came wearing that? Because that's where he's from.
He's wore Indian stuff. He's wore Yankee stuff. I get that. But he is now part owner of the historic Boston Red Sox.
Okay, I need you to give a play-by-play of what you would do. So, okay, boom, play one. You see him. Play two. What is your, like, what do? You go up to him?
Why do you think he's going to meet LeBron?
Because if it happens, I need to know he didn't bitch up and not do it. That's why.
What?
So
he needs to have Red Sox.
And if he ain't wearing that, so what's up?
I got a problem with it.
Okay, so what you gonna say?
What am I? You want me to play it like you're LeBron?
Yes. Okay, I'm LeBron. What up, fool?
That's what he's gonna say.
Yo, give me your. All right, so I got on a Lakers jersey.
LeBron's not gonna do that. He's not coming to Boston.
Can we just get Mike's response? All right, go ahead, boom.
I need to see the man wearing
the clothing of the team. Imagination.
I'm telling you, I'm gonna say, you on the Red Sox, right? Where your jersey? Where your hat? That's legit what I want to know. All
right, I'm him. I know you. Now what you gonna say?
Now I'm a random bum off the street. Are we having a conversation?
Security? Like, what are you gonna do?
Listen,
that's what you want to say to LeBron James?
All I'm saying is, bottom line is, if you own part of the Red Sox, if you come to Boston, come to Fenway Park, I want to see you representing the team that you're now part owner of.
And if he's not, then it's up. I got an issue with LeBron if he see him and he don't got a Red Sox jersey on.
Support your team. You own the team. Can we get this support to LeBron?
We'll try. You on this video?
I
want
to tell him not to wear the jersey.
I'm dead.
Marv, set up the meeting.
Fenway Park. What do you do?
I'm going to salute.
Okay.
That's it. Anyway,
you're not saying
that,
no words?
Nah, I don't have anything. I don't think LeBron wants to talk to me.
That's what y'all would do?
I just told you what I'd do. I got beat
this with the This one wouldn't be in the business.
I'm scared of the man. Like, he's a man like me.
Say nothing.
Can we get back to the topic?
If it was me, I'd just keep it casual. I go up to him. I'm like, yo, what's up?
The same way he told me he gonna call security for that for me.
He's not gonna do that to me.
Why wouldn't he do it to you?
Because, like I said before, how y'all feel about having two big ball players in the same city? Like, LeBron's here, I'm here.
Marv.
Anyway.
You don't think that's gonna, like, we gotta be on, like, good terms. Like, that's what I'm saying. I'm just keep it casual. I'm not even gonna. We're gonna dab each other up.
Oh, so when you walk in, LeBron's
like,
gonna be like,
and then I'm gonna be like this. I'm like, you want some tickets?
Yo, this. I'm.
And then he gonna be like, this is what he gonna say. Do you want some tickets? And I'm like, yeah. And guess who gets the tickets? Right behind home base.
It's great to have you back.
I love it. It's really fantastic.
But then
I am very happy to be here.
Plan B. You don't even want tickets. You don't even like baseball. So guess what? I sell them for $1,000.
Yo,
a piece.
What plane was that again?
Plus tax.
How did we get to this topic for her start hustling?
I'm just, you always knew I was a hustler.
Listen, it's a family show. We talking about LeBron James owning the Red Sox.
That is
part owner.
And as him being part owner of the Red Sox, we also need to talk about the likelihood of one of us running into him. Somebody needs to come back and tell that story. Chances are it's going to be me, okay. But I'm just letting you
when
know.
When you meet LeBron, the day you meet LeBron.
Send him the link to the show.
Let him know.
I told y'all what I'm going to do.
Thanks.
T-Mac?
My last statement on this LeBron James thing, because we definitely got to be out. I think this is wild. To have a current NBA player, mm-hmm. owning a team, like, still in it, who's probably going to still play for the next 4 or 5 years or so. Like, I think it's amazing to see a black man currently playing and already owning stake. And that's what you always want to do. You want to have some type of ownership. And I think that's influential. I think we're going to see a lot of players behind LeBron start to to start thinking about that way. Like, damn, can I own a team? I mean, he's already had stake with the Liverpool soccer club, which is why he has the connections with the Red Sox. So I think it's an amazing thing. I think it's awkward, obviously, because
it's very awkward. It's so weird.
If it's a one city we don't think LeBron would ever associate Boston. It's Boston. So it's awkward.
We never get nothing.
But hey, let's see what he brings to it. I think it's really dope to see a black man do this.
I just need to see him wear a Red Sox jersey or hat one time.
It ain't like you gonna do something if he ain't wearing it. Throw one at him. I would have threw the dirt. Like,
it's not about
me. Hey, put this on.
It's not about if I'm gonna do something. I just would like to see it.
But that's what I wanna know. You wanna know why I came up with an approach of like, what are you gonna do? Or are you gonna do something? Because you don't like him. So like, why wouldn't you? Like, I feel like if somebody that you don't like,
I do not hate the man. I do not hate the man.
Listen.
I dislike how he's played against my team over the years.
You dislike him. You don't like him. So that's why I'm saying, all I'm saying is,
beef.
All I'm saying is, Mark got your back. That's a big dude. I might have to sit this one out, but.
You're not going to have my back? You're not going to have my back?
I'm a mother.
Listen, yo.
Hey, it's Women's History Month.
Yes.
And I remember telling when I first hit up Team Mac, like, yo, streets have been asking for you. We want you back.
And he go with this street talk.
I said, T-Mac.
He's connected.
T Mac, you coming back on the show because not only, you know, are you missed, have you been missed, but with it being Women's History Month, you deserve your flowers as well. You absolutely.
Is that what's behind this couch?
You absolutely.
We are live.
Positively.
On air. People are watching.
Let me tell y'all something. When I came in
here. Hold on. I was going into something deep just now, and I just got completely cut off.
My bad.
Damn.
I'm listening. We got it on camera. I can go back and I can just replay it. You gonna remember what you said? Go ahead.
We are live.
This is live.
Pick up where you left off. The flowers.
T Mac, you deserve your flowers.
happy. Keep that same energy when you see LeBron, though. Okay.
We're not even talking about LeBron. I'm here saying, T Mac, you deserve your flowers. You know, everything you talked about in the beginning of the show that you're doing, you know, I know it. I know Marv knows it. Double M wouldn't be where it's at and everything has been without your presence and everything you've added to the show.
I appreciate it.
Yeah,
so we've been thankful for you.
And I appreciate y'all.
You do? You sure? Tell them. Yo, bring the camera close.
Bring the mic close to her mouth. You see what he do?
Say it again. We want to hear
I'm
it.
I'm not saying it again. You heard me the first
what
time.
What did you? They didn't hear you. What did you say? Say it again. One more time. We can't hear you.
You see? Now I'm not doing it.
Anywho,
I appreciate you guys.
Yes. Yo, teammate, you family, dog. Like Mike said, Double M is nothing without you. You started in the jungle with us. And, you know, we're going to always continue to continue to grow. We love what you're doing. Motherhood now.
Let me put that
beautiful, beautiful rain.
Let me put that thing
we're
back
excited
up.
To see her grow. Just any last yes. words before we get out of here? Any
yes,
last words
definitely,
to the people?
Definitely follow my business page, Crown by Rain. And ladies, if you're interested in, you know, booking some services with beauty execs, let me know. You definitely will receive a discount. And I just want to say thank you, Mike and Marv. You guys are like my brothers, and I appreciate y'all bringing me back and, you know, showing me some appreciation. And, you know, we family, so this won't be the last time.
Family things.
And then there it goes.
It's Double M.